love for you to look on and see where we're reading. If you don't have a Bible, please feel free. If you're visiting with us, by the way, welcome. We have some welcome cards, and we're happy to hear from you if you have something to share with us about who you are, etc. By the way, somebody said they thought I said all of you ex-Catholics say hi to each other. That isn't what I said. I said former captives. I said, captives. It wasn't Catholics. Okay. I may be arrogant and self-righteous, but I'm not that arrogant or self-righteous. Okay. Don't feel that way at all. And kind of yikes. Well, by way of review, in Zechariah chapter 8, you know, the tradition of religious activity that is unfounded from truly God's heart blurs pure faith in the finished work of Christ. And so the fasting that these people were doing, which we studied last week, shows that they were missing the point, even though they were doing these heartfelt, apparently, or seemingly, deeply introspective fast. God was looking for something different in terms of restoration and repentance for them. And now he goes in chapter 8 back to the promise of the future of Jerusalem, because what's happening is the rebuilding of the temple and the city and eventually the walls. And yet God has intermittently been talking to them about how to avoid the same pitfalls of their forefathers and that brought them into captivity, how to be truly restored, how to go further than ever before. And he's also making promises to them that are going to go far beyond the day they live in, because God's speaking to the rest of us. So we're not reading Zechariah for the sake of history. We're reading it for the sake of ministry and restoration. Verse 1 through 8. And again, the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal, and with great fervor I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of that city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, If it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east, that was Babylon and the rest, and from the land in the west, and I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. A greater Jerusalem is spoken of here than ever had been in the past or was going to be even in the future that we now look back on from this point backwards. There's never been quite the marvelousness that we've seen, though there's been little snippets of it, there's been moments of glory, nothing like what's being discussed here. And that's because while they're in the middle of a partial work of restoration, and they're on the physical side of things, even as we just read the psalm, the physical battle that David prayed about, we have a spiritual warfare with the forces of evil that is the bigger picture, not the lesser picture that's being portrayed in the Old Testament. Physical things are being used to portray spiritual truth that's eternal. And you have here the discussion that's being brought, the prophecy that's being given, can only be really fulfilled and will only be fulfilled because you can compare Scripture with Scripture. It's not just hypotheses. It's not just, well, what do I think this means? When you look at the book of Revelation, when you look at Isaiah, when you look at Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and the minor prophets, you see these same things spoken of about the time of the millennial kingdom. What is the millennial kingdom? I'm so glad you asked. It's 1,000 years of peace in which Christ rules and reigns from Jerusalem after the time of the great tribulation, when God judges this earth, deals with his nation Israel in a full and final way to bring them back, and then deals with mankind fully. But God does not have the final great white throne judgment and the end of all things, disposition of all things, until there's 1,000 years of peace when Satan is captive, when the people who have rejected Christ and the dead and the sheep and the goats are separated. And yet, there's people that are born during this time, and of course, I'm not going to do a lengthy study on the millennial kingdom. There's a lot of questions that will come up if you're not familiar, and I won't be able to answer them right now. Too bad. But what you can know is there's going to be people on the earth. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. He reigns from Jerusalem. And the thing that man has always in rebellion against God said will be answered. Well, if he'd come down here and just put his foot down on the earth, take control of what's going on, put things in order, we'd follow him. Why doesn't he just do that? Well, he does that. He's going to do that. And after 1,000 years of utopia, you know, they're making a new show called Utopia. Not that I'm promoting television, but I, you know, if you watch a game, you see all the commercials. Believe me, it won't be utopia. And I bet they are planning it not being utopia. There's no such place. But there is a place in God's kingdom, and he will have the utopian kingdom where people obey and listen and do right along with those who are already glorified with Jesus, and yet Satan is loosed at the end of 1,000 years, proving what God has always told man, that rebellion is the issue. And people of that time will turn and rebel against God, even though they had enough food to eat, enough of everything they needed. There was nobody hurting. That isn't why they're rebelling against God, because he was mean to them. They're rebelling against God because man is fallen and rebellious. And unless a man or a woman is changed from the inside out, all the stuff you do outward won't change anything really ultimately. That doesn't mean we don't work on outward stuff and don't help. We do. But we know the deepest need is the internal change by the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, we could spend a lot of time on that. We won't. But God says to them through the prophet Zechariah, I'm zealous. No matter how many different ways your Bible speaks that word, I'm zealous for Zion with great zeal, with a great fervor, I'm zealous. It's all this takeoff on the same word, zealous, and it's taken from, it is the old ancient word that means to become intensely red-faced or flushed with deep emotion, in passion, jealousy for, not in a human rage thing against somebody, but passionate for the people you love to protect them. God is passionate for his people. Now, not everyone believes that. Not every Christian believes that. Not all of us here believe it as fully as we might have the capacity to grow in. You see, Jesus said to his disciples, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. With passion. Jesus didn't say, okay, what's on the list? What's the next thing to do? Eat Passover, pretend like you really love these guys and that your body, okay, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. Do you think Jesus was just acting out a script? Was he following the script? Okay, yeah, he was, because he wrote the script, because he is a script. He's the Word of God made flesh, so there is a little bit of hard things there to separate, figure out. Jesus has passion. It's called the passion of the Christ, the suffering he went through because he is red-faced for you. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes. You might say in your life right now, but he's not doing whatever it takes. Maybe you can't see. Could you give credit to God that it's possible you can't see something that's true even though you can't see it? Maybe you can't feel it. Is it possible that just because you don't see it or feel it doesn't make it not true? It means that you're being kind of encroached upon or blinded. Man, it happens to all of us. This is no problem for me because I can see I've done that many times over and over and over again in my life. You know, to think that God just wants obedient clones or robots to obey him, and that's what makes him happy, is to give him shallow identity and purpose from our hearts. For a non-believer to do that, I can understand how they might think that way. But for you and I, we don't intentionally do this. We don't intend anything of the kind. Yet when we say, well, that applies to everybody else but not me, or it applies to those guys, listen, I have been reading the books that we have in this closet that are available for you to borrow, Heroes of the Faith, easy reading. And we have them at home too. And we've just been kind of devouring them. And I am a reader, but not that big of a reader, but they're easy reading. But I'll tell you what happens when you read them. You're constantly reading these books, and this is what's going to happen. And it's why some of you are just staying away from them. It isn't just because of time, because I know you're busy, but some of you are just avoiding them. It's a prophecy. Okay. It's because you read them and you go, Lord, I mean, Roland Bingham, I had no idea who this guy is. I just finished it Saturday, and I was like, Lord, I'll never be like this guy. I'll never be like this guy. How was he able to be this way, Lord? How come I'll never be this way? I don't even know if I can say I want to be this way because he was so dedicated. Does everybody here get, if you haven't been through that moment, I don't know if maybe you are a robot, or maybe you're just shut off to life. But real life to me is like I read these things and I'm blown away and I'm sending the cat. Gail didn't even know it. She didn't know how much I was weeping yesterday reading this guy's story. And if I spent too much time looking at me, I would get really depressed. Very depressed. Because I haven't been. And you know, I'm not going to get to start when I'm 20 again. I'm already 61. I've got those days are done. And have I served the Lord? Yes. But have I been like this guy? Well, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise, and there's a reason for that. I'm not like Jesus, really. I'm not as, you know, I want to be, and I'm learning to be, and God's working in me. But, you know, God didn't say, well, everybody but you, Rick, or I can bless Roland, but not you, Rick, because God doesn't say that to me. He doesn't say that to you. And when I say it's for him but not for me, you know, in the deepest way that I say that, I'm actually denying his word. I'm denying his character. I'm saying God is a respecter of persons, and he favors one over another in ways that are unfair. And I don't intend to do that. And I don't think you intend to do that. But do I think we do that? Yes, I do. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've been part of it. A world in which God rules in righteousness and truth, man hasn't really seen. You know, it's just something that we hope for that we've not yet seen, because that's what hope is. It's for something you have not yet seen. So God is zealous for you, and the thing to settle with right now on this, because I need to move forward, is to say, Lord, you're probably a lot more zealous for me than I understand. And if you're wise, if your heart's open, you might say, God, I want you to show me how that works. Instead of just saying, well, I'm just not that way. Well, I just don't get it. None of us get it. But Lord, show me your glory in this way. Show me what it means that this is, help me not deny you for who you are to me. God, that's important, that I don't just say everything about me is more important than everything about you. I don't mean to be that way. It's just natural for me. I got myself choked up. 9 through 15. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong. You have been hearing in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets who spoke in the days that the foundation was laid from the house of the Lord of hosts, that the temple might be built. So you guys are from the beginning of coming back and building. Be strong right now. For verse 10, for before these days there were no wages for man nor any hire for beast. There was no peace from the enemy who went in and came out. For I set all men, everyone against his neighbor. This is just former times when they were in sin and when their fathers had rebelled. But now I will not treat the remnant of this people as in the former days, says the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give its fruit, the ground shall give her increase, and the heaven shall give their due. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things, and it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah, house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear, let your hands be strong, for thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I determined to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I would not relent, so again in these days I'm determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. Restoration really requires an understanding that I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It really is important to understand that these things that happened were bad. They were very bad. But he says, your fathers and your own people yourselves, your failure is real. But though you were a curse, I'm not only going to bless you, but I'm going to make you a blessing. You know, that's consistent with what God said, and it's all that he said, and it's everything that he said, and it's exactly what he said to Abraham, and that's why it's on the front of your bulletin. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great. That all sounds good. But, and you shall be a blessing. God is determined. I mean, you know, when you know somebody who's really determined, you don't know anybody who's determined like God. God is determined to bless his people and to make us a blessing. Now, just think with me for a minute. So, a nuclear attack is coming. The whole America is going to be wiped out. But you, Bill and Mary, there's going to be a bubble over your house. It's going to push the other houses away so you have a square mile. And it's going to be safe. And you'll be in that dome, you know. And so the whole world around you will be destroyed, but your family will be safe. You can, and get your, you know, Noah, get your family in there, okay? And so you got your family around you, and you're in this thing. And so everything's peachy now. You're looking out at the corners, and you just see devastation around you. You see the radioactivity out there, but you're fine. Are you happy? Are you blessed? It's like, this is great. It's what I always wanted. Just as long as I'm okay. You know, my daughter was 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old. She got a hamster. And at that time, when Beth was 8 years old, her name, it was an age-appropriate name for her hamster. She named him MC Hamster. Can't touch this. And that's because we had this ball. You've seen it on TV recently, I think. The ball where the hamster can roll all over the floor, but he's still in a self-contained unit. He's a happy guy. You know, I think he wants to eat little pieces of fur off the floor, garbage, and I bet he gets exercise, but it's kind of a hopeless situation. You know, he's constantly was rolling that thing into something like, let me out of here. What am I saying? Not very well, whatever it is. But now let me clarify it. Could you truly be happy and blessed if you're not a conduit for blessing and engaged in other people's lives? Listen, the topography of Israel, I think God set it up on purpose because he doesn't, that really worked out cool. I had no idea. That's not God. That's me and you. Like, things happen and we go, wow, that really worked out cool. I didn't know that was going to work out like that. Well, God's not that way. He kind of knows. So you have, at the north, you have the Sea of Galilee teeming with life, beautiful. Vegetation around it, lots of fish. I've eaten fish from the Sea of Galilee. I think that probably makes me a little more special than you. Sea of Galilee, it's just great, been there. And then you go down, it drains into the Jordan River, and that allows, the water comes in from the mountains and from springs up north of it, and then water goes out of it, and it's living water. Does that ring a bell? But as the Jordan River meanders down, it goes into the Dead Sea. In the Dead Sea, water goes in, but water doesn't get out. There's other issues, I know. But it's called the Dead Sea because it's dead. Because it has water coming in. It has life coming in, but it destroys that life because it has no way for water to go out. Even though they've been doing things to try to fix that humanly, it's got other problems, and it's still the Dead Sea. And there's a picture there. Life comes in, and life is experienced because life goes out. Life comes in, life goes out. Life comes in, life goes out. Life just comes in. MC Hamster. The flow stops. The flow stops. I will bless you and make you a blessing, because there's really no other way to be truly blessed unless you're also being made to be a blessing. And so we're told the same things in the New Testament as they are told. Hey, listen, be strong, don't fear, don't fear. In 9, 13, and 15, we're told in Ephesians 6, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the schemes of the devil. What's the devil's passion? If you're God's passion, what's Satan's passion? Well, he personally doesn't say, I'm thinking about Woody all day today, and I can't wait to just destroy his life. He doesn't really care about you, Woody, but he hates God. And because God loves you, he hates you. Now, how many people does Satan hate? Everybody. Because God loves people, Satan hates them. But he really hates God. He hates God's control. And he would do what he can to keep people under a law or in lust or in bitterness, to keep us apart from God, to keep us from seeing truth, holiness, and righteousness. But we see that in Jesus. As New Testament believers, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 3 that we're looking to him like through a mirror. Without explaining the whole mirror, looking back at yourself, you're looking beyond yourself to see Jesus. And we with unveiled faces, meaning we're not kept shrouded from it, behold the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. John gave me permission that we were talking on Tuesday, John Wilkerson and I, and he says, you know, when I first came to ACF and I was here a couple of years, I was trying to figure out what the purpose of this church was. And what he meant, which I wasn't sure at first either, like, are you wondering if we have any purpose? is it that bad? You know, so he blessed my soul. He says, you know, well, and I think he was explaining, and I'll let him speak for himself on the rest, on some of this, but what I got out of it is a lot of churches have different identities based on their gifting and their calling, just like many parts to the body, just like individual Christians. And you see churches that are bent in a direction to go, you know, yes, we go to Malawi. Is that a big part of us? Yes, but it's the purpose of our church isn't Malawi. We do Thanksgiving dinners. Anybody want to help put that together? That's a great event, but a purpose of our church isn't Thanksgiving dinner. We support upstate jail ministry, but the purpose of our church, what is our purpose? Well, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And Peter and the guys said this, that, and the other, these different prophets, these different bents, these different angles that churches take, you know, prophecy, power gifts, loving the poor, moral majority, you know, all these kinds of things. But whom do you say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is Matthew 16. Jesus said, that's right, Peter. God's Father showed you that, not flesh and blood. And on this rock I'll build my church. That we've always desired to be a Jesus church. And here, I'll explain that in a minute. But John said, and I started to realize that people come here oftentimes, not everybody, they've come out of difficult situations, and they come to ACF. This was his view. They come to ACF to fall in love with Jesus again. And I almost, because I'm very weepy, I almost start crying at the table and embarrassed him. But I thought, well, I hope that I pray to God that's true. I pray to God, Lord, if I'm in the way of that, if things that we do are in the way of that, if encouraging people to sign up for anything is in the way of that. You know, we purposely keep a low key to everything on purpose. It's not because we're lazy. I mean, maybe we are, but we don't. We'll probably never have the screens. Like if we had this big building, we had two screens, and I'm not faulting it. I'm talking about different gifts that God gives bodies of believers. But I don't want people to come in and have a constant scrolling of what the announcements are. I know that's it's efficient. You get everybody on the same page. Everybody gets to know what they can get involved in this week. It's totally fine. But I would rather come in and have them see a picture of a scenery before church starts and hear music talking about Jesus, so that when you come into church, you're thinking about getting close to Jesus. Not signing up to do stuff. Not connecting for business. Not, you know, whatever. Is it okay to do those things? Of course it's okay. Is this the only way to do church? Of course it's not. But the goal, there is a goal here. And it is that you and I would fall in love with Jesus. Now, I don't know that we do it so well. I thank God for giving him that picture. But I hope it's your goal, too. Is that people would come here and just and be around you and be around me and go, oh, I just want to get to know Jesus because I've been around people that know him and love him. Can it be that simple? Is it okay for it to be that simple? Do we have to have an edge? Do we have to have, well, our ministry is to do this and that and the other? I don't think so. I think it's fine. But I think our ministry can be to love Jesus. And when you leave here, If that's who you are, you're blessed and you're a blessing. And that's the most effective way, I think, that we're ever going to. And really, I don't know how to do it different. I don't even do it well, but I don't know how to do it different. It would be even worse. So I'm going to stick with it. And you can help. If you see us getting off track on that, you can tell us. But be willing to be a part of the solution. Don't just be a problem finder. Be willing to be a part of the solution. But our goal is to glorify God and to love him and to experience Jesus. It's just that simple. And folks, as long as I have any say in it, it's not going to get more complex than that. If I have any strength of mind and heart, it's going to stay simple. May you fall in love with Jesus. May we look at him and be in awe of him. May he heal us and free us from all this garbage that we go through our brains and our attitudes and our pasts. May Jesus be glorified, because none of us could fix it, but he did. Let that be the purpose. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you can go to other churches and you can get focused on certain things, praise God. And you can do it here too. But make sure that Jesus is your ultimate purpose. I pray that's true for us. Verse 16 through 23, these are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in his heart against your neighbor, and do not love a false oath. For all these things I hate, says the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came, host came, saying, this is what the Lord says, the fast of the fourth month, fifth, seventh, tenth, all of them, shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feasts for the house of Judah. Therefore, love truth and peace. He says, you know, these old fasts, they're going to change now into time of celebration. Thus says the Lord of hosts, 20, people shall come, inhabitants of many cities, the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue and go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we've heard that God is with you. So I guess I'm assured that no matter what, I'll have at least 10 people in my church. For those who don't know, because I'm a Jewish man. hey, 10's good. 10's good. In the Jews, that's interesting, because 10 is a minion, which means that's enough men in the patriarchal culture and leading from the Lord in the Old Testament, is that you had to have 10 men to have an actual synagogue meeting, to have and open the Torah and read it. There's a certain kind of study you could do without that, but in order to have a service the way they do, you need a minion, it's called, of 10. It's not the English minion, it's a Hebrew minion, okay? So at any rate, feasting for fasting and deliverance from self-pity, wallowing in failure, not looking for God's promise. Listen, the only way out of this sin, whatever sin I ever get in, and condemnation, guilt that you can't seem to find relief for, is to look to God's grace. If you look within yourself, you'll never find it. If you look to Jesus, you'll never miss it. I'm going to say that again, because I believe people want to write that down. If you look within yourself, you'll never find it. If you look at Jesus, you'll never miss it. And I don't know everything, but I believe this with all my heart. I can't really look at Jesus and not be drawn to him and moved away from what's crippling me. I don't move all at once. I'm not done, but it's the right direction. And I always know that's where I need to go, especially when I'm getting introverted and self, consumed. I got to look to Jesus. I got to look to Jesus. If you look within yourself, you'll never find it. If you look at Jesus, you'll never miss it. So 10 men will grab a Jewish man and we want to go with you. We've not really seen this dramatic thing through all of history or even today, or have we? In one sense, we've seen a fulfillment of this. I think there's future coming, but how many millions of pilgrims find their way to Jerusalem, to Israel every year? Well, you got to go back before that. Go back to the first disciples in the day of Pentecost. You had 3,000 people saved and baptized, and the Holy Spirit's moving, and the church is birthed, and it's all Jewish people. right? And so all these Jewish people, eventually, the most of them get chased out of Jerusalem by angry Jews with the help of Rome. And they get persecuted, and they go out from Jerusalem and out from Judea and Samaria and to the othermost parts of the world, not because they made a plan, but because God chased them out using the evildoers to let his word be fulfilled. And out they went all over the world sharing the gospel, and the first grouping of them were all Jewish. And here, how many Jews, is there any other Jews in this church right now besides me? You're part Jewish, that's right. There's one and a half. Sorry, I might be the half. Who knows? So 10 men grab one Jew and off they go, and here you are. Maybe it means more than this, but at least means this. And so, where's Rome today? Where is, go to Rome and see the Colosseum. It's like this decayed thing that they're keeping it together because there's no iron fist of Rome now, but the Jews brought Jesus Christ and the gospel changed the world. And certainly there are atheists serving kindly. And there are doctors who are atheists who go to Doctors Without Borders, etc. But if you add up how many people are helping with Ebola, how many people are going to places, if you get on an airplane with me to Africa and see how many are doing it for a job or through another organization, and how many are Christians going to serve, it's incredible, the number of Christians going. It doesn't mean nobody else does anything, but a high bulk of it since the Reformation, man, be salt and light, and that's what's happening. Now, I want to take 1 minute to go back to verse 16 and 17. The things you'll do, speak truth to his neighbor, give just judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. In your gates. I think it's worth our time to take a moment and talk about the gates of a city in the ancient world, particularly the city of Jerusalem. When you think of gates of a city, you probably think of a movie, maybe you think of a drawbridge, and the gate that comes up like this, or the two gates that open. Nada, that's not it. There are those gates, but the gates of a city was an entire structure that takes up a good hunk of space. And when you open the gates, it's got room, it's got hallways or pathways and turns and rooms and a top all the way back with soldiers who can pour stuff on you and shoot stuff at you. And it's got rooms with weapons to equip the soldiers. And it's got a giant room where the elders of the city meet. When it says they meet at the gates of the city, you hear, in Ruth, they weren't at two bars and everybody's just sitting around there. They were in a place that was a controlled, dominated, powerful leadership area in which laws, policies, judgments, and directions were all accomplished at the gates of a city. It was the place of authority, and it allowed, yes, access, what came in, and egress, what went out. Proverbs 25:28, some of you can remember back to this. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. It doesn't say he who doesn't have control over other people and how they treat them. It says he who has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. So, the marauders of ancient times, they're riding on their camels or donkeys or horses even. They look over here as the plain, and there's this nice city with lots of stuff in it. They can come and steal and take captives. They can come and steal the possessions, and it won't be too hard because they got no walls. They look over here, there's a hill where they always put a city up high, and there's this big 30-foot wall, and you see the pots with the boiling oil getting ready, and you go, let's see, which one would be easier to attack? Which one would you attack? The one without walls. He who has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. It's true for everyone in any time zone, in any time in history. And the gates of a city are the place of command and control center. And so we use the term, you have an eye gate, you have an ear gate, you have a mouth gate, you have a mind gate. That's the hardest one to deal with, isn't it? Man. Yeah, because I can close my eyes and not look at anything, but in my mind I can see things that I ought not to see. I can think thoughts all day long that are not healthy. Am I alone here? Yeah. So, you know, we have these gates to our city, and it's a place where God wants to take control. You know, hate and deception and lies and gossip and slander, allow the enemy into your gate. Allow the enemy authority into your life. God wants us to be blessed, and he wants us to be a blessing to others. And the battle we fight is kind of the battle for the gate. What are you letting in? What are you allowing to roam? What are you chasing out? And what are you giving out? Because you are supposed to have those gates open and stuff is supposed to come out. The Galilee Sea, the Dead Sea. It doesn't mean you just close yourself off and that's how you do it. You can't. That doesn't work. That works worse than almost anything. You have to have those gates be able to open and close. It's not easy. I'm not going to solve it all today by sharing this thought, but I might put your minds in a direction as we continue through, and my mind in a direction. God is determined to bless his people and make them a blessing. So when God shows you, when he reveals an attitude that is contrary to his word, you know, there's authority standing up in your gate saying, Rick, I want to enter something into the charter of the city. And I have a choice to make there. God, help me. I need his Holy Spirit to make the right choice. But I can believe him, wait on him, and turn to him. And when he reveals a wrong attitude in my heart, I can thank him for showing me. Thank him for showing me and ask him to rule in my heart at that point. It's not magic. I'm not suggesting here's this little prayer you pray and everything goes like this. But it's a right direction. Now, I'm asking you, I'm asking me, do you want a quick fix? Somebody to just wave a wand? A miracle from God? I'd like a miracle from God every day. I'm willing to take a miracle every day. But right now, what I have to offer you from God's word is direction. And direction means you have to take steps and you take sometimes your battle. And, you know, I'm just like you. I have to fight that battle. But that battle is that you, when God reveals a wrong in your heart, begin to thank him for showing you. Even before you feel better about it or have a good attitude, if you wait for your attitude to change, we'll see you in 20 years exactly the same. Maybe tomorrow I'll feel differently. Like, why? Why? You won't feel differently tomorrow. You choose to say, Lord, thank you for showing me. Keep showing me and take authority over this part of my heart. It's a bit of a journey. But you know, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Wendy's going to come up and play a song for us before we pray together, and then give us all a time to take a deep breath.